Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the wall came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I will greet you with the greetings of peace as well as Ramadan Mubarak. And we hope that those of you who are practicing the disciplines of the fast of Ramadan, that Allah is rewarding you, granting you mercy and forgiveness for the infractions of disobedience that we practice and seek God's forgiveness for and his help in making us stronger in obedience to his will and plan for his world and for the people. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and I'm happy to be here with you. I'm just thinking over here lately, I've been thinking over, how can I upgrade the Not Just Talk experience? Been thinking about bringing on co-hosts. I've really been thinking about it since Sister Martha was no longer, pardon me, Sister, got Martha on my brain. Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam was our co-host for a number of years. And I've talked to some people about that possibility, and also thinking in terms of my transitioning, going on to another assignment, so to speak, and having someone as my, not so much replacement, but someone transitioning into the programming of our program, Not Just Talk, fresh eyes, fresh perception, innovations, you know, new ideas, new energy, new blood. You know what I'm talking about. So praise be to Allah. Allah knows best. I'm mindful. I took counsel in the early leadership structure of the Associates of Imam Worthy Muhammad. We had regional representatives kind of helped us in our focus. And also, I know at this particular time, Imam Ibrahim Bacha, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him paradise, was a very special mentor to me. And I took it as a point, I'm going to say a point of appreciation, when he asked me to consider leaving the little town that I was operating out of with my wife and others, Noonan, Georgia, about 45 minutes down the road from Atlanta. And he asked me to submit resume to the community of Birmingham, Alabama. And I thought about my Uncle Barry. He has a name that is pronounced like an attribute. It's an attribute of Almighty God, El Barry. And I thought about his lack of interest, I'm going to put it that way, of coming south from Washington, D.C., even though Washington, D.C., I remind people, it's the northern part of the South. It's below the Mason-Dixon line, the demarcation of what is north and what is south, you know, and it has been that for a lot of years. But my uncle didn't have any interest in visiting me in Birmingham. He'd heard about it. He'd heard about Mississippi, goddamn, and he's heard about Birmingham. And there were a lot of despicable things that Mississippi could be asked of Almighty God to condemn and to damn, and could be found by many right-minded people as damnable. And Mississippi still has some of those energies. We, from time to time, have a brother, Lumumba, who is an advocate, particularly focused on the African-American or black community, but he's an advocate for justice and, we'll say freedom, justice, and equality. Though I don't think he's never been a member of the Nation of Islam, but he really has shared with me an appreciation for the discipline and the focus of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the followers of the nation, him as the leader, the followers of the Nation of Islam. So, alhamdulillah, This Ramadan has me in a reflective mood. I am very appreciative in terms of how this Ramadan has begun for us, and I'm very appreciative to be mindful prior to coming into Ramadan to be made aware of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, his last Jummah, during the month of Shaban, the month that precedes the month of Ramadan, and the inspiring words that he shared in that khutbah, that lecture, that still have me pulsating with appreciation for Almighty God. You know, his sensitive awareness for compassion, mercy, empathy, reminding the believers to be regardful of the seniors, the pioneers, as we call them, the senior members of the community, being mindful of the young people of the community, and also being mindful of the broader community, young people, you know, and in doing so, a reminder that this month of Ramadan, we start off with mercy, and anything we can do as human beings to encourage merciful, empathetic behavior between family members, between neighborhood members, between the community, the large, broader community, and between those members of the nation, particularly the leaders. You know, the leadership position, any leadership position, has its challenges, because the leader oftentimes has to focus on what the group needs are over the needs of wherever he or she is personally. And it's a challenge to get ahead of the group, not to get ahead of the members, you know, or you find yourself marching down the road and you look behind you and nobody's behind you. You're not leading anybody but yourself. But Allah knows best. So I'm not unempathetic with leadership challenges, but there's also, God reminds us, the leader as well as those who are following, your own self obligates you to all of humanity. But in this particular context, the leaders and those who are identified, quote unquote, as followers, that we have a soul obligation to respond to, that our souls that the Creator gave us, we came into this world with a soul, and that soul has requirements, and that soul has obligations. And God Most High says, your own soul obligates you. And process that he brings human life into. We come out of the bellies of our mothers, and we come into this world, and we're not able to take care of our own needs. Some merciful person, some compassionate, empathetic person has to provide for us, or we'll die, you know? And God designed that process. God gave us motherhood as a position, a leadership position in the life that he has provided for human beings. And that leadership position is entrusted. Imam Muhammad translated Arham, which has been translated from the surah, chapter 4, An-Nisa, the first verse, The first ayah reminds us of Arham, translated as the wombs that bore us. Well, that's one sensitivity, very general, but more specific in the translation given to us by Imam Muwahhid Muhammad. Pray Allah grant him the highest place in paradise. And we don't acknowledge, I should say I don't acknowledge him being late for anything. I acknowledge Imam Muwahhid Muhammad as being right on time, as Allah would have it for us, as a mercy to have a leadership coming out of that Nation of Islam experience, learning the Quran within the nation, but the Nation of Islam representing a group of people, a group of African-American people, a group of Bilalian people that are moved by the concept of Islam representing freedom, justice, and equality. And so the translation of Arham into female entrusted ties of relationship. Boy, that's a mouthful right there, isn't it? I'm going to stop here and invite Imam Kareem in. Welcome. State your name for the people and where you're calling from.
Yeah, I am Kareem Hamid. I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. And I extend the greetings of peace to everyone under the sound of our voice. So that's Assalamu alaikum. We wish peace upon you, the peace that only Almighty God can give. And also I extend the greetings of peace to the Ummah, the international Ummah of Ramadan Mubarak. May we all have a blessed Ramadan.
And yes, and Ramadan Mubarak to you, Imam. What have you got? What do you want to share?
Okay, you spoke earlier of that you have been running some ideas through your mind concerning the broadcast, Not Just Talk. You mentioned if you could find someone young to turn the reins over to, someone, you know, with fresh eyes and all of that. Well, yes, alhamdulillah, you know. Your concern for the health of Not Just Talk, which is your baby.
I like it. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I love it. Go ahead.
Right. You know, there's a void we have here on America Muslim 360. I have periodically addressed the subject matter that I'm going to mention or even suggest to you if you choose to do it. We do not have a platform that addresses international issues. We are mainly... We present local issues or just what is happening in the country. But there's a whole world out there. There's a lot happening that is and will affect us. So keeping up with what is happening in the geopolitical world, in the international world, I see some big things happening that we have to be aware of. So that's the blind spot that I see that we have here at America Muslim 360. Periodically, I'll address an issue that is currently on the world stage. You know, I'll mix it in with the presentation on Saturday, the evolution of revolutionary thought. But that's my concern, and we do not have a broadcast that deals with international, what is going on in the global world. You know, China is very consequential now, very consequential. Indonesia, praise be to Allah, very, very consequential. And if we are aware of it, we're not addressing those issues. The recent election they had in Great Britain, and this man, Galloway, won. That upset the whole apple cart in Great Britain. He won more votes than the two established labor parties combined.
Mm.
I mean, double, yes. And he's seen as an outsider. He's seen as as one that's not towing the line. And at his victory speech, after winning this landslide election, he said, "This is for Gaza."
Oh my goodness!
That gives you an idea. Yes, that gives you an idea of the mindset of Galloway. He seems very progressive. He's challenging the norms, and he has won a huge landslide in Great Britain. That we should be aware of that, and what is his position, and all of that. To me, that's where we're lacking here on America Muslim 360. We don't have a broadcast that is giving international news, you know. So if you chose to take that challenge up, go ahead, my brother.
I hear you. No, that's all I want to say. I'm hearing you. Yes, sir.
Right. Well, yes, that would, I believe that would greatly enhance not just talk. You know, there's some very consequential things happening in the international world.
Yeah.
And we are not addressing it all over the American Muslim airways, American Muslim 360 airways. We have to be totally involved in what is going on this globe. We are globalists. We are internationalists. We are universal, not just mono in our thoughts and our concerns.
Yes.
So I think that that's a fresh sub. Well, it's a new idea, whether it's adopted or not. But periodically, I do plan to share with the listening audience some news that is happening in the international world. It won't be the main subject matter or the main topic, but I find it very beneficial that we mention those things, you know, like the stand that South Africa took the International Court of Justice. We should have been on that. I mean, somebody should have been. I'm just saying. Yes. What is occurring in Haiti? It's not what everybody thinks or seems like. It's not the regular mainstream line that you're hearing about what is occurring in Haiti. There's another side to that, you know. And the Haitians, ethnically, we are attached to them. And their government has collapsed. There's much suffering and violence going on the island of Haiti, and that comes from a long history of oppression. So that's all I'm saying. Subject matters like that, you know,
I appreciate
I'll stop right there, my brother. Yes, sir.
I thank, Thank you, Kareem Hamid. We appreciate you and your leadership. It is important. And sometimes I think, without excuse, sometimes I think that we are so, many of us, so overwhelmed by the challenges in front of us right here in our own neighborhood. But you're right, because the larger framework of what's going on in the international world, if you will, for those of us that are looking for the new world that Almighty God promises and that was intended, permitting the human being to shed blood and to be disregardful of the Creator and the messages in creation that speak to balance, that speak to freedom, justice, and equality. These messages are ingrained in the logic of creation itself, creation-supported logic. And you're right. We need to consider that. In this regard especially, the Creator has permitted pain and suffering to exist. Even the life process, the mother goes through pain and difficulty, even sometimes being near death in order to bring new life into the world. And with that, and other occurrences that we might consider in our palate, you know, we have in our palate, our taste buds, in the back of the tongue, you've got a taste bud receptors for bitterness. On the tip of the tongue, you've got taste bud receptors for sweetness. And on both sides, either side, right or left, you have taste buds that represent the sour taste. So there's a message in that. You know, for those that reflect and consider, there's a message the way Almighty God has designed the taste bud receptors in the mouth. And I thought, and I mentioned it over the air and in other conversations, I thought about the Uyghur people, which I found out that they had been suffering and under oppression in China for a number of years before it came to my attention. And this has been going on in terms of how I feel about Muslims being oppressed. Kind of step back. And I said, well, you know, the history of al-Islam is different now. But, you know, in the earlier days of our presence in America, you know, they diminished the power of the message of the Quran, the power of the message of the life of Prophet Muhammad and how he applied the guidance of God from the Quran, the generous Quran. They had the narrow focus of men and women incarcerated, turning their life around by accepting Islam. Well, believe you me, the Chinese government is well aware of the history of al-Islam in terms of its ability to change a whole group of people, a nation of people, to change their view, their focus, and advance their life and uplift their life and make their life more productive by virtue of following and obeying the guidance that's given in the Quran. So this is something that I became aware of. And here you had a whole community of Muslims that's now been destroyed, and the members of that community have been put in concentration camps. They've been in prison. And there's no semblance of the houses of worship, the business community that was established among the Uyghur people who practice al-Islam. And I said, well, that's it. you know, the president for life has identified and aware of the history of Al-Islam to change the lives of people. And by contrast, his, and I'm going to say it this way, his modified version of communism, because the Chinese government is aware and wise. They have a history of civilization and wisdom, and aware of, I'm going to put it this way, the creation supported logic in Mother Nature in life. So them knowing the history, the leaders knowing the history of Al-Islam, even changing, you know, that area was affected by Genghis Khan, a marauding dictator-type leader who was very savage and willing to shed a whole lot of blood to establish what he saw in his worldview. And Genghis Khan told the Muslims, after getting some understanding of how the Quran looked at the world, and he said, after hearing of how this scripture identified obedience to God, he saw himself as being a scourge, a punishment on the Muslims that he was slaughtering. He was piling up Muslim bodies, as they say, left and right. But he was aware, after hearing about the message of, oh, well, what I'm doing is actually punishing these Muslims for being disobedient to their God. Time, his offspring became Muslim and obedient Muslim in the history of the world. So this is a powerful way of life that is identified as religion, but it's more a way of life. And we're going to take this time to go to a public service announcement. We invite you to press 1.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Serial Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Greetings. This is Priscilla Lukta of the University of Islam and Clara Muhammad School National Alumni Association. We support CWSC and AM360 because of their support of our group intellect. From the Model Communities National Resource Directory and Speakers Bureau to American Muslim 360 Broadcasting and more. Join in helping to build our national intelligentsia. If not me and you, then who? Visit CWSC.us today to make your tax-deductible gift at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics, with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Amin. Thank you for being here. And we invite you to press 1 to come into the conversation. This is Ramadan, and those things where you would get a much smaller, perhaps, reward from God, that reward is expanded during this month of Ramadan, things that you may not even consider as receiving reward. The Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, talked about the sleep during this time. It's the best sleep during the time of Ramadan. And the being mindful in the salat, being mindful in the prayer of extending your prostration. And we've been told by the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, position of prostration is the best position in the prayer. And the time when we, you know, when we ask, we ask God that's the best position to ask God to reward you, your family, members of the community, members of the Muslim community, to pray for and ask God's help and mercy and forgiveness on the Muslim Ummah, and just any number of requests. And the more closely the request is to an expanded idea of help. For instance, the very first chapter of the Quran and the most often repeated prayer and guidance and help, Al-Fatiha, it gives us the spirit of the guidance of God when we read the first few verses. The first verses connect us with how we should see our Lord, how we should see Allah and our relationship to Allah. Then the verses after, we ask, not just for help for ourselves, but we ask, Lord, show us the straight way. It's an inclusive prayer. And it doesn't say show us the Muslim. It doesn't say show us the believers. It says show us the straight way. I mean, after all, there were no believers in Al-Islam prior to Muhammad. And those that became believers and members of the Ummah of Muhammad, the community of Muhammad, their minds and hearts and their behavior was directed to other ideas and notions. They had no knowledge of God's guidance. And so it is today. And don't you know that there are a lot of people that say that they don't identify with religion, quote unquote, put Al-Islam in that focus as a religion. But the guidance tells us that Al-Islam is a way of life. It is the life for the human beings, even though they may choose other forms of devotion and other forms of behavior. God says he prefers Al-Islam for his human creation. Again, I invite you to press 1. We'd like to hear from you. Imam Kareem, I thought I saw your hand up. Invite you to come back in. But I wanted to expand the invitation to those that I see in the switchboard. You know, I see your phone numbers, and I recognize some of them. So I invite you to press 1. If it's no more than we give the greetings of Ramadan, we invite you to give the greetings of Ramadan Mubarak And, you know, maybe perhaps tell us how your Ramadan is going. You know, we're in the second 10 days now. Mercy, the first 10. Forgiveness, the second 10, asking God for forgiveness. And the latter number, concluding the month, we pray for protection from the fires of sin, protection from the hellfire, and we're going to bring you back in, Brother Kareem.
Yes, praise be to Allah. You know, I'm grateful to you for you stating that Al-Islam is a way of life. And this isn't a negative statement. It's not. But it's not a life. You know, too many Muslims see our way of life as just spiritual. But there's a heavy emphasis on spirituality. But that's not that is a misframing of Al-Islam.
I agree.
You know, we are concerned about your tajweed. We are concerned about the symbols and the movements that we make and all of that. But Al-Islam is bigger than that. As I expressed earlier, on America Muslim 360, we have a concern for the international world. And we should hear that expressed. We are Muslims. And Muslims, they incorporate all human interests, period. We wonder how come governments are averse to Al-Islam. Well, they are averse to it because Al-Islam is a system of government that covers everything connected with the administration of bringing about the best circumstance for the human being. So we see a government like China. They are a socialist / communist / free market. You know, they have incorporated all three of those disciplines.
They've modified.
Yes. And so here come Al-Islam. It's a government. And they look at that and say, uh-oh, our system of government is being challenged.
Yes.
Let me, Imam Rashad, I heard him say, he was being interviewed, I believe. Imam Rashad out of Atlanta, the young scholar, wonderful brother. He said, you know why the United States is trying to hold back this becoming an Islamic country? He said, can you imagine if the majority of the people became Muslims and they stopped buying Hennessy? They stopped buying beer? You're talking about trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars threatened. Because the government of Al-Islam, the people themselves will govern themselves and not partake in these sins. Like Imam Rashad said, you know, they make a business of sin.
That's true.
Gambling now is a bald-faced sin.
And Imam, we have another caller.
Okay, so all I'm saying is that we have to present Al-Islam, not just spiritual, and we have a concern We have a concern for what's going on around the world, And we have to express that. We have to show some interest in that. Wherever a Muslim is hurting, we should all feel that. Myanmar, Sudan, even Saudi Arabia. They held a large rave in Saudi Arabia. A rave is a big old concert. Yeah.
Party.
They had Rihanna come, and they went somewhere, and they went out, and everybody just, it was on. See, so I'm just saying, we have a position in the international world. We have to let them know that we are aware, and we're concerned, and we are interested in what is going on. In the international world. I'll stop right there, my brother. I pray to God that we get balance. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Caller 706, please, Muhammad from Columbus. State your name and where you're calling from. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. Brother Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. It's like everything. We are letting, knowingly or unknowingly, we're letting Shaitan make small of this wonderful creation that Allah has given us. It's the only reason he can try to justify his illusion that he's better than us.
Muhammad.
And our Islam is just like, yes, sir.
Muhammad, before you go further, I just want to, because I mention it often, but I just want to directly mention it to you. When you sweep it to where the we is all inclusive, that's not acknowledging that there are those who are standing 10 toes down, men and women of faith, not just Muslim, but other believing men and women that are standing up against these forces of Satan. I just want to, you know, let you know, sometimes we paint with too broad a brush, you know, and not realize it.
Well, I'll put it this way. Now, what Imam Kareem just said is true. Al-Islam is not no small brush, neither. It's the biggest brush that Allah
permits. Now, I'm not talking about the brush. I'm not talking about the brush that includes the religion. I'm talking about, wait. Wait just a minute.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and talk.
I am going.
You know, I'm listening. I enjoy listening.
Okay, just hold on. We're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a conversation here. But what I'm speaking to specifically is not just you, but oftentimes many of us will use the broad brush in terms of our, you know, it's habits of speech is what I'm really speaking to. The habit of speech in terms of, you know, whether it be something positive or something negative. You know, oftentimes, you know, we just inadvertently use language that suggests that everybody is this or everybody is that. That's all I'm speaking to. Okay, go ahead. Let's talk.
No, go ahead. All you're gonna do is interrupt me again. But so we won't do that on this very important airway that we're doing.
Okay.
You know? Yeah,
okay.
You know,
I'm interrupting you now because you don't know what I'm thinking. See, that's what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm thinking. And, you know, to say that all I'm going to do, you don't have that kind of knowledge. That's above your pay grade, knowing what I'm going to do. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
Now, if you've completed your thoughts, I'll just go on to another caller. But the mic is open for you.
I'm completing it. I'm going to keep the peace. So we can go to the next caller.
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
What?
All right, next caller. Press 1. This is no more than to say Ramadan Mubarak. You know, this is not just talk. So the conversation is, or the platform for the conversation, let's put it that way, the platform for the conversation is to share, and we can disagree. We can agree to disagree. And I've made a decision that instead of me trying to overtalk a person that, you know, wants to consider talking, you know, even after I'm trying to interrupt, to have a conversation and not just a monologue, I've decided now that I'm just going to do what I did with Muhammad. I'll just mute you until I make it clear what the stand of the host is and what the focus is, and then bring you back and have you make the conversational remarks as you see fit. But we're just not going to overtalk. You know, we're going to be regardful of one another's respect for our humanity and the fact that God permits us to disagree with one another. We don't have to get ugly. We can agree to disagree. So again, we invite you, press one, dear audience. This is Ramadan, and we enjoy the conversation. We appreciate the conversation. And I'm having a wonderful, wonderful Ramadan. And during Ramadan, the Muslims had disagreements. During Ramadan, they had challenges. During Ramadan, Allah blessed them and rewarded the Muslim Ummah with successes. You know, and this is something that didn't just take place in Saudi Arabia. Those successes that Allah rewarded the Muslim believers happened all over the world. And we expect the same because God's promise is true. And we thank Allah for the blessed month of Ramadan. In the chapter entitled Bitterness of Life is Necessary, it was that expression of this first chapter of the book, little small book, less than 100 pages, I believe. Yeah, the book is about 89 pages. And the book, After Difficulty, Insights of W.D. Muhammad on Pain and Suffering. This first chapter, Bitterness of Life is Necessary. And I found it interesting that the first presentation of this first chapter, focusing on bitterness of life, it starts with the blessed lady, Hajja, alayhi salam, Allah be pleased with her, searching and running back and forth between the two hills of Safa and Marwa, seeking help for her baby boy and herself. And in mentioning this to one of my colleagues, he shared with me that Imam Muhammad had identified this presentation of the Lady Hajja running back and forth between the two hills of Safa and Marwa as a representation of academic rigor. And rigor is a word that, let's see what the dictionary says. Quite remember what it is speaking to, rigor, the meaning. Let me see. That's nothing. There's one definition here, a noun, a sudden feeling of cold with shivering accompanied by a rise in temperature, especially at the onset or height of a fever. Okay, let's see more. Rigor. Okay, we have that. And we have rigor, a noun. R-I-G-O-R or R-I-G-O-U-R. The quality of being extremely thorough, exhaustive, or accurate. His analysis is lacking in rigor, severity, or strictness. The full rigor of the law. So the connection given to us by the leader of academic rigor fits this meaning. The quality of extremely thorough and exhaustive, you know, or accurate. And this is something that will help us and help the environment that we operate within. You know, we've been told by the Imam about the language environment, and the language environment of this world is oppressive. You know, it affects, it attacks, it seeks to render the soul from operating as Allah would have our souls operate. And language has a great importance in how we as human beings, how our souls operate. And I think that a great contribution that will be remembered for decades and decades is this contribution of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad in terms of identifying language environment. So it starts first with me and my awareness of the kind of language that I use, the words. We're told words make people. Words have a certain energy, a certain effect. You know, words suggest things. You know, words not only mean things, but words suggest things. And our greater sensitivity to understanding how words work within us and outside of us will be very helpful in terms of the kind of healthy future, productive future in our going ahead, you know. I think that's just a fact of life. I want to share this with the audience since I'm not getting any greetings of Ramadan from those of you on the line. I'm going to read this, share this with you from some notes that I took of a lecture of Imam Muhammad. I took these notes back in August of 2023. And it begins, there is something in the soul that wants us to please God. And we think until it is brought to our knowledge or understanding that this is in us just for ourselves. The urge to be pleased, the urge to want to be happy, the appetite for happiness is not in you for yourself. More importantly, it's in you for your relationship with your God that your soul needs in order to be truly pleased, truly happy. Happiness is a word known to everybody. Some of us look for happiness in our own personal self. We're too self-conscious, too self-centered, too much devoted to our own self and not to others, and most importantly, to God. And we just engage ourselves all the time for happiness. You are looking with the mirror too long. You're already washed up. You already brushed your hair. You did all that, still like to look into the mirror. That might be coming from trouble. Vanity is one of the major sins. To be stuck on your own self, that is the common expression. Fascinated and held by your own beauty or appearance can really destroy us. Happiness is the burden on the soul. The soul is created to find happiness. And that's the end of those notes that I took from a lecture given by Imam Wesley Muhammad. The lecture wasn't. The notes were taken in August of 2023. But something to consider, you know, with the fasting environment of Ramadan, this environment invites us to be more introspective, to look within us. For what reason? In my opinion, we look within ourselves to become better, as human beings. You know, the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he said that if we are fasting and we're not working on making our behavior better, then we're only starving ourselves and going thirsty. Now that powerful few words to get our, it gets our attentions because it touches our sensitivities as well as our sensibilities. You know, none of us want to be doing something that's futile, that has no benefit. And the Prophet is telling us you're not benefiting yourself if you're going hungry and going thirsty, but you're not connecting the Ramadan environment with making your life better, improving your behavior. Isn't that wonderful? All praise is due to Allah. Again, I invite you to at least give the greetings of Ramadan over the air, press one, and share a little love, not just with me, the audience. Greet the audience with Ramadan Mubarak, as Imam Kareem did and as Brother Muhammad did in coming into the conversation. They greeted us with Ramadan Mubarak. They greeted us with the salam, and all praise is due to Allah. That affects the environment, whether we know it or not. You know, when we give the greetings out loud of Assalamu Alaikum, it's not just a greeting, but it's a pronouncement that we're aware that that greeting is an obligation. God obligates me in regards to peace, and foundational to the experience of peace is wholeness. You know, I think the previous scripture talks about a house divided cannot stand. That not only goes towards physical structures, but it goes within the human being. You know, when we're fractured internally in our souls, when we have issues that are not conforming to the balance of our life, not conforming to the good picture of ourselves and in our relationship with others, that's not an internal environment that's good for peace in ourselves or outside of ourselves, you know? So, again, I'll give you the opportunity to, you know, give the greetings of Ramadan to those who are listening and will be listening, because this platform has archives. Here we have a caller. I recognize this number. State your name and where you're calling from.
Okay. Welcome. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Martha Naila, here from. Thank you, sir, by way of Philadelphia.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah, Ramadan Mubarak and Juma Mubarak now, too. Alhamdulillah. And really just enjoying the talk as I'm, I won't say toiling with some things, getting some certificates done for the iftar that
oh, okay.
CWC that Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association, the IFTAR committee, actually, which is a combination of individuals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us university students to help as well. And it's
That's
a beautiful,
wonderful.
Yes, it's a beautiful connection. So yeah. We're always good when we're doing dutiful about doing good work, inshallah.
Yes.
So thank
Praise
you so
too.
Very, very much.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And the people I know, they value Martha Nala Abdullah, you know, people I know, you know, because you do a lot of stuff that we don't know about. You know, you're taking care of business, and we thank you for that. Thank you for your service.
Alhamdulillah. As my mother would say, may the life I live speak for me. And this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, inshallah. Thank you.
Oh, you went both ways. Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. Yeah, you went both ways. You hit us with the gospel, and you hit us with the word from the previous scripture, the Bible. That's all right. Yeah, you doubled up on us. Praise be to Allah. And let's see. Anyone else? Okay, we're going to take a public service announcement break. 727, we see you. And we're going to take a break at this time. Let's go here.
Assalamu alaikum. Are you or anyone you may know big into sports? Having a unique ability to deliver opinionated yet knowledgeable sports takes? Or maybe you're a travel aficionado in love with and passionate about all things travel, from cuisine to hotel tips, modes of travel, one with the air, the land, and the sea. Even the best way to save a buck or two. Or do you have an interest in fashion? A keen eye for the movers and shakers within the realm of Islamic fashion? Perhaps a history buff? Maybe you're an expert in law, all things related to the Ummah and entertainment, or a student proficient in the arts, an environmentalist, you are a renowned activist, or a writer with love for teaching and the deliverance of ideas via the pen, the keyboard, or if you're old school, the typewriter. If you share any of these unique talents, or know someone who does, and are interested in hosting your own radio show, then you've found the right place. Log on to www.cwsc.us for more information. We hope to hear from you soon, and inshallah, the world will begin to benefit from your unique talents and points of view. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk, and we have our poet laureate here, Bilal.
Bilal.
Welcome.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum and Juma Mubarak and Ramadan Mubarak to everybody. Alhamdulillah.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Praise be to Allah. You know, I have been listening to, a lot of the students, the young students, Imam Wadadi Muhammad. You know, I listened to Tariq Alameen, Razi Ali, and I listened to Imam Suleiman. I don't know when I was a student, but, I've been listening to Rashad Abdulrahman for a long time. I mean, for, you know, a couple of months now. And it just said dawn on me, right? As I started back listening to Imam Watadi Muhammad. And the things that I heard from Rashad, I really had already heard in Imam Muhammad. And it dawned to my mind, you know, I said, well, that was one of the students, you know. And just something how the mind is, I had saturated myself so much with Imam Watadi Muhammad when I saw he and Rashad, it was like I wanted to hear for expressions or words, and I just wanted to hear the new life that is in the community. Because I know they pushing the community forward because the imams, Imam Watadi Muhammad said that, they teach to say that. And And I had really, like I was seeing something real new, right? But then I went back and revisited some of the Imam Muhammad work. Yeah, I say, wow, that's a fan there. You know, yeah, I say, so praise be to Allah for good students and good teachers. And always remember, I always remind myself to remember that the legacy is to improve upon. And you improve upon by really just, if you mimic it, or if you say the things and you put your total expression on that, and then whatever else Allah give you of that, because you're out there now, you're doing the work. So that, I think that's what it is about even Sister Nala. She into the worship. Rashad, he into the worship. Wazir Ali, Anissa and them, Tariq Alameen, they into the worship. So praise be to Allah that's what it's about. Is being that servant, being a slave servant, and slave, regardless of the connotation that they have in this world, but the one they have in our world is the world of work also. So praise be to Allah, you know, for that. And I had surgery done during this month, and so Tuesday and Wednesday was some serious days for me. And so praise be Allah brought me through it, and I was able to get back into my walking today, you know. And I got me 3 miles in the day. I wanted to share that with everybody. So praise be to Allah. And everybody continuing to enjoy your Ramadan.
Yes, sir.
In your life.
Thank you, Bill.
Go ahead.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan
Mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Got to say this about you, you know, because I know how you feel about, you know, you're very much of a person who shares and encourages, and your enthusiasm, as they say, is infectious. You know, you kind of, you know, your vibe or your enthusiasm, you know, it transmits to other folks, and I've seen it, you know, your encouragement. Well, what about this idea? We could do this on AM 360, like Imam Kareem Hamid shared with us a focus that he saw that would help and advance and enhance the airways of AM360.org. And it's encouraging me to do as he does and to highlight certain things that are going on in the international world. And, you know, I see it this way. It's important to understand the subtle changes in what's happening in the world all around us that point to God is advancing His will and plan. I think that's very important. There's some of these prognosticators or these people looking at world events and whatnot. They're looking at them with one eye. They're not using the spiritual eye, you know, because they see it as being, you know, maybe old fashioned or, you know, not up to the modern times. When you mention the Creator, when you mention Almighty God. In terms of world affairs. But, you know, God created the world. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded of these natural connections. We say creator, and we acknowledge that in terms of us being able to present certain innovative ideas and innovative things, technology and the like, you know, creator. But the creator of everything says that He is the best of those that create. Now that touches you right, touches me right where I live, and I know it touches many of you. The Creator of everything acknowledges that the human being is a creator. Well, why shouldn't He not acknowledge that? I mean, He provided that for us, the creativity, sensibilities, and sensitivities. To be inspired, you know, all this is a part of what God put in us, you know. So why why shouldn't he acknowledge? I mean, because oftentimes we need help to understand because of the retarding influences in the world. There's too many of us that look down on what we are, who we are. I know particularly African-Americans conditioned to see ourselves as less than, and that's something that we really have to create an environment to get rid of that kind of thinking, that kind of behavior. One of the notable educators of African-American people, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, he lived for a long time in my hometown of Washington, D.C., right around the corner from Daddy Grace's church with my father's mother, my grandmother, and many of her sisters. I think some of maybe one or two of her brothers were a part of the house of prayer, still existing. Daddy Grace is no longer there, but they're still a part of the worship scene. They have restaurants and properties, and they're still moving on. Yes, so Dr. Carter G. Woodson, he said that the miseducation of, and I'm paraphrasing, of African-American people is such that they've been conditioned to see themselves in such a way that if there's not a back door for them to come into an establishment, then they'll make a back door. And this is not necessarily talking about a restaurant or, you know, a church's chicken or something like that. The back doors in terms of established life. We go through the back door of politics with all its feelings and making the Democratic Party like a cathedral, you know, of us worshiping little d democracy. And what has it gotten us? We look down on the Republican Party, but I've noticed in my observation of the political reality of the two-party system, when the Republicans get in, because they're not teasing us with things that they say they want to do for us, and then, you know, talking loud to us about giving us this and that, and doing really nothing in the long run. When the Republicans come into office, I've observed that the focus coming from our people, you hear the voices of do for self louder, because you don't hear those voices that are creating this environment of looking for and accepting handouts. When the Republicans get in the office, the spirit changes among African Americans and say, well, they ain't gonna do nothing for us, no way. And because that spirit is grown and expanded wider than it normally is when the Democrats are in, when the Republican language environment comes on the scene, then we say, well, we got to do something for ourselves. That spirit that's in us, it was already there. It was always there amongst some of us, but it has a wider currency when the Republicans come into office, I've noticed. And something that we don't have enough voices inviting us to consider the fact that there are groups of people in America that are not looking for the Democrat or the Republican Party to do for them what they can do for themselves. The Amish, they're a group of people. Now, this group I'm going to mention now, they have involvement in the political process, but they have a wide focus on doing for themselves. And that's the, what are they called? Mitt Romney is one of those members of the, what are they called? I can't think of what they're called now. But anyway, Smith, you know, they are situated out in the West, in, I forget the name of the state, but anyway, you've got that group, and you've got groups of Asians.
Michael,
yes, sir.
Are Mormons. They are Mormons.
Oh, thank you. Mormons, okay. The Mormons. You know, they do participate politically, but from a foundation of do for self, very much so. They've got a history of doing for themselves as a community. And who else do we have? The Asians. They're so quiet with their community strategy that it's hard to you know that they've got a Chinatown and their other expressions. I know when I was on the outskirts of Atlanta, I saw all kinds of Asian writings. I don't know if it was Chinese, Korean, or what, but I know it wasn't English. And they have a strong business community. And it, because they accept the invitation in America to govern themselves. You know, as long as they're not breaking the law, they establish institutions for themselves. They establish business for themselves. They establish a governmental leadership for themselves. And you don't hear a peep out of them hardly in terms of their involvement in the Democrat or Republican party systems. You don't you hardly hear a word. I don't hear anything. Do you? But anyway, that's another alternative that when the forces of conservatism, quote unquote, come in, these kinds of messages, this type of language is more widely spread amongst the public. So I've got 924, dear people. If you have a greeting that you want to give, if you have something that you want to share, I invite you to press 1. Otherwise, we're going to end a little early. 9:30 is the general close of our conversation, and we do go over when the need is seen because of your enthusiasm. But I understand you're engaged in other activities and you've got other things on your mind. So we're going to greet you with the greetings of peace, and we're going to make a supplication to Almighty God as we do close. We ask Allah, oh Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Amen. Thank you, dear audience. Join us next Thursday for more of Not Just Talk. And we appreciate you joining us for this particular episode. I need to take a note of something before I close out. Salam alaikum.
Early in the morning, sailing friend, Melon's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls in keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my